Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of truth, which has been given to us in this hour by vindication, knowing indeed that we are dealing with the one true God, and we are grateful for that, knowing also it came by a prophet which we recognize, knowing that therefore that whosoever receiveth whomsoever you send receive you, and thereby also receive the one that sent you. Knowing therefore, Lord, we stand in this hour, this precious hour, Lord, that you've given us, we rejoice really with joy unspeakable and full of glory down within the inner man. And though sometimes it's hard to translate that into the outer man by reason and those things which cause the impeding thereof, Lord, we know that by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be victorious, and it does not rely upon any sense or any reasoning or any feeling whatsoever, but truly upon the realm of faith, the revelation, which, Lord, we know we have, and we rejoice in it. And therefore, Lord, there and thereby we stand in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, as even as Paul did. So we accept all these things, Lord, knowing who we are and who you are, and thank you for what you have done for us in this day and allowed us to receive it. Help us therefore, Lord, in the further unfolding of your word. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last Wednesday, before I get into number 9 here, we were dealing with the fact of God's word to Adam, particularly in the very beginning, in the form of what he was, which is a form of spirit. And at that time, there was no possibility to procreate. Angels don't procreate, neither do spirits procreate. Spirit beings are strictly those of creation and are not given to multiplication. And it was only in the second process, wherein Adam and Eve, or Adam particularly, the second creation as I see it. Now remember, I spoke to you concerning the fact, this is my understanding from what Brother Branham gave us, the clue to Eve being a byproduct of Adam, and therefore in another class, in the sense of you would call, what would you call that? Oh, in not exactly importance, but superior, the superior condition. She literally then was opened up then to an inferior condition on the grounds of the capability of falling. And so I see, therefore, the next thing I apply this reasoning to and this understanding to, what I mentioned here in Genesis, that first chapter 126, he said, let us make man, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And in there, of course, Brother Branham said this was a spirit man. But when you take this back to the Word of God, where Paul is really revealing to us in Hebrews, if you're going to make man in the image of God, you've simply got to get right back over here to the book of Hebrews in the first chapter. And Paul tells you, God, who in many parts and many ways spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, God in the prophets speaking to the fathers or progenitors, therefore bringing like seed, as they are, to follow their footsteps, hath in these last days spoken unto us by, or in his Son, in the form of the sonship, and in that particular Son. In other words, God is not using the prophets now, in whom was a portion, but he's using this particular one to reveal himself in his fullness. Brother Branham said the prophets had a part of the word and were therefore themselves a part of the word. This was the fullness, and that's the truth, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right, he's spoken in the Son and in that particular office. I don't like that word office. I like the word role, because it is much superior, as you're speaking of God fulfilling his own great drama. which many people do not have the understanding that God must fulfill himself. You know, it's all right, you know, and we hear this same thing today in kids. The kids want to be fulfilled. I want to be fulfilled. I want to be fulfilled. And the woman wants to run around. She wants to be fulfilled. She wants to be fulfilled. Why don't they just shut up and begin to reckon with reality? You know, the point is, when you're looking, go to the very source. And you think God doesn't want to be fulfilled? That's why everybody wants to pray. They want to use prayer as a gimmick. Everything under God's high heaven, but getting back to the Word. Now, this whole thing is a fulfillment of God, whether you want it or not, because God is sovereign, and he can blot you out like a gnat. Now, let's give God credit for being who he is. He's God and he's Father. He's a progenitor. And his fulfillment is, as Brother Branham said, New Jerusalem, the Lamb on the throne, the bride around the throne, the attendants around the bride, and the rest outside bringing their glory in. Now, if people just begin to have an idea of really wanting to please God, which Brother Branham said he always wanted to please God, what a difference there would be in the quality of Christian life. So, all right, you're looking here now at God expressing himself in the role of sonship. This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell. Exactly what he said to John. When you see that one that you're baptizing, he said, now that's the one upon whom the Spirit of God comes and remaining upon him. That is the Son of God. Now watch what it says about him as to his pre-existence. Now remember, every one of us had a pre-existence. In the book of Job, where were you? And I can never remember exactly who clapped whose hands. The sons of God or the morning stars shouted, which clapped their hands. Doesn't make any difference. There's a pre-existence. Now, that's what you and I do not remember. So whether simply in the mind of God, and there's a hallelujah chorus going on in his mind or what, I care little or nothing. I don't have to go that far back. I only go that far back and know this. Now watch this one that goes all the way back. Before there was a speck of stardust, before there was anything created, this is the one that was formed. And Brother Branham calls it the light that formed. Now what was in that light as per the intrinsicality and a true spiritual substance and form? Well, you better believe it had to do with arms and legs and everything else, because that's exactly what Adam came forth in. And as Brother Branham categorically said, now he said, look, he said, if there's a shadow of an elephant and the reality turns out to be a spindly little man, there's something awful wrong. Right? Now listen to this one. Who being in the brightness, who being the brightness of his glory, that's the effulgence, the outrain. And the express image of his person, that's the expression of his substance. Now that's what you're looking at. And the Bible tells you he left that to take upon himself the form of a man. Now remember, the form or the image was his in the original. Let us make man in our image. So now you can't have an elephant with a spindly little man. So what you're looking at now is the chief son with many more sons, which we will look at and begin to see here. And it says, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You are literally looking at the fulfillment of Almighty God in the highest peak possible in this only begotten, one-of-a-kind chief Son, this day have I started my posterity in you. And you simply can't get around it. You look at it and you accept it. That's the only way I can ever get Brother Branham's messages to my own life and understanding. I believe what he says, and I start looking in Scripture for it, and I find it. And you know it's the truth because I do find it. And he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, I don't know too much about the word likeness, but you could also use it in a sort of a vulgar way. You might say here, according to how God likes things even. It's what I like. And I'm saying this because oftentimes we don't like it. I think we ought to be smart enough to like what God likes. Because he couldn't make a mistake. He couldn't start with oats and get wheat. And you better believe when he started with Adam, he's not going to get anything but a bunch of little Adams right back. Now, this was made in that image. You can talk all you want about images broken and this and that. I'm not interested, although it can be perfectly true. Brother Branham used the expression himself. It doesn't matter to me because I'm going to get reality at the end of the road. So I'm not looking at a bunch of broken images and crackpots and everything else. I'm looking at the vessel that's going to be glorified. And we're going to come into his perfect image according to 1 John 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and if never yet appeared, we shall be. No, he should appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When the full revelation comes at the end time, that's exactly what you fit into. That's your becoming. Now, you're at the end time now. All right, we're looking at this, and he said, let us make manage after likeness. And it says, let them have dominion. He's talking about posterity here now. In whom I've started my posterity, this only begotten one, there's going to be many more little Jesus. Brother Branham even calls them Messiahs. Referring to the fact of the church and the feminine. But you better believe there's not one feminine thing in here except for procreation. And let's face it, there's not any masculine either except for procreation. You say, how do you know? Because we end up as the angels in heaven who need to marry and give in marriage. Not that we're neutered, but there is a neutrality there. So if you end up that way, that's how you started. You see, that's where I'm getting my understanding right here. That next thing he said, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So you start with the him. Why? Because that's where he put the life. Now there's got to be something reciprocal to take the life and bring it to pass, because that's how God ordained it. Now God could have said, Adam, start cloning yourself. And that's where he'd have been a bunch of clones. Now, let's look at it. We look at this thing here, the sex has caused us so much problems and so many pitiful problems, then we want to blame the woman. Why? We got to blame her for it. Bible distinctly says, woman is of the man. So what are you going to do? Cuss the man out now and say, woman, you've got to be a heap of junk. You can't say that. Otherwise, you are destroying your own character and calling yourself a bunch of junk. But the Bible also says, the man is of the woman. So if she stepped down, you're stepped down. You know something? It's psychologically true. Right across the board, that women marry above themselves and men marry below themselves. Here's your Bible. You can't find one psychological law that is truly true and not find it right in the Bible. Does that mean the woman's a bunch of crud and man marries down to her and uses her doormat? Not saying that. Not saying that at all. See, now look at it. I tell you here, according to what Brother Branham said, the woman was outside the original creation, the woman per se, outside. And he's talking about the flesh, and she came from him, and it's like a step down. That's why you could have a hybridization. It had to be that way. The vessel bearer, the vessel that bears. That's why I'm saying here, I can see in here the original. God made this one here in his image. Now notice, Jesus never had sexual relationships. No way. So therefore, when Brother Branham come on the scene, he tells you, in the beginning, sexual relationships was not what God had done. It would have been a spoken word seed child, and that Eve should have borne that child apart from sex. And she should have borne Christ. He is not simply talking up a storm and talking through his hat and trying to bring in something that makes William Branham, poor little Kentucky hillbilly with a great ministry, look great and mess the whole thing up because he couldn't understand that God simply gave him a lovely gift of healing for the world. Go out there and exercise it. They still haven't got a clue about a prophet. Okay? So we're looking at this picture here. Now, the major understanding here is God, who is life, who is spirit, desired to have many children, a family. And the thing is that that family is of his species or of his life, the same as is everything he created. Now, when you're going to build a house, or you're going to do anything, even to the extent of that which is creatorial, whether you believe it or not, and you have to believe it, because you know it is true, you cannot go beyond your own self as to your tastes, your desires, your requests, your formulations, and everything else. You can't help it. In other words, why is certain lady wearing a blue dress, a man wearing a black suit, and everything else? Everything is a reflection of you. And if you step outside of that reflection, you now are beginning to go into a process of reasoning and self-destruction. So now God says here, I'm making these in my image, after my own likeness, and it is the life that you are looking at, and that original reflects God, whether you want to believe it or not. I don't care how much Satan steps in. I don't care anything about that. I don't care how Satan forms women. As to fashioning, the word is fashioning, as Brother Branham brought out. He can fashion the men also, but I'm going to tell you something. There is an only begetting. Now watch carefully what I'm saying, because I'm relating this to what I just said. All right, he said, this day have I begotten thee, I have started my generations in you. But he turns right around and he said, this day have I begotten you, and it is from the dead. And from the dead that body came forth 100% commensurate with what was within him. He had to take upon our form, take upon flesh and blood, in order to shed the life that was in the blood, because that's where it was, the life. They start that blood cell, and that blood cell had that life that contained that soul. God bring that in breath of life, and only then he became living soul. At that particular, now that cell was broken, so the soul of Christ actually died, bloodshed, and the life was the soul of Christ brought back upon us. Now, this is what I am saying here. Therefore, now, what you are looking at here, in this particular sense, is that fact of that life that is neither male nor female, but is the life of Almighty God. Now, you're going back to those days when you were back in there, and you're called sons of God. You're brought forth here in this very hour. And now, you went through the flesh process, and in the resurrection, you have another birth apart from your original birth of flesh, which made you to have another birth, which is a rebirth, the water watering the seed, that puts you commensurate with what you should be, not back there alone, but now in this life, but you will still die. And when you come forth, you will have another birth. Three. God doing everything in three. Natural birth, rebirth, and a rebirth. And from that time on, you'll be in a position whereby the will and wonderments of God can be more thoroughly fulfilled and will be perfectly fulfilled. So I look at this and I see in here what he says. He, male and female now, to me, is the further creation, the appurtenances thereof, which cannot be in spirit alone, because spirits don't multiply. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now you notice what he's saying in here. There's a repetition of what is in verse 26. And he said here, in our likeness let them have dominion over the fowl, the fish, and so on and so on. Then again he says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Now watch, and subdue it and have dominion. Now you're dealing with two particular things. In my understanding, you are dealing, number one, with what we see here, where the word subdue in the Hebrew is not the same as the word subdue and subjugate as you see in the Greek. Now, what has God come down to do at the end time? The Bible distinctly tells you here, and it's in 2 Thessalonians, and I hope I can keep my thoughts in continuity, because it's very difficult to do this without notes. And it said here, in verse 7, chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, you who are troubled, relax. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, remember, when these mighty messengers in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Christ. At the same time, he's going to come down to be glorified in his saints. See? Now, remember, there has to be a binding of the tares, the separation before these, the wheat gets taken out, and the fire descends. So, all right, we see what is going on here. Now, let's look again at 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. And this is to the people who are born again, the bride. And he said, now, I don't want you to be ignorant. See? In 1 Thessalonians, because it could have been that 2 Thessalonians should be 1 Thessalonians, and 1 Thessalonians should be 2 Thessalonians. You say, why? Because these people are upset. And the only way you can get upset and be a little screwed up in your thinking is to take 2 Thessalonians and say, oh my, he's coming with fire. Where's that going to leave us? And Paul's saying here, now hold it. Don't be afraid. And don't be ignorant. Concerning them that are asleep, and you sore not as I have no hope, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. Now, this we see unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall not go before them or take any precedence over those that are asleep. In other words, don't get any fancy ideas now, because this is going to come at the end time and didn't come before. Like John said, something is coming at the end time that never happened before. So don't you get all smart in your own thinking. Now remember, at this particular time, you've got to understand that every people that have a religion are convinced they have the superior, and they become supremacist, like racists. Now I want to ask you all a question. If we don't have the supreme religion at this time, and our supremacists are supremacists, what are we? Now here is the crux. Don't get smart with your knowledge, and that you have the supreme wisdom of the ages in this hour, and you are actually only by the grace of God a supremacist. It's a supremacist or supremacist. Who gives a rip? You're it. Now you hear what I just read? Shall not think themselves prevent or think they're taking any precedence over anybody or anything, because this is strictly a work of God. And it has nothing to do with us within ourselves as though we initiated it or had anything to do with it. See? There's real humility here. Now, every religion around us, Catholic religion, is going to prove one day they're right by forcing issues. Everybody is going to try to prove it. The Mormons try to prove theirs. The Latter Rain Pentecostals. Every single person, my brother, my sister, this is something we don't have to prove. That's why this church does not go for gifts and everything else as though we've got to have it to prove something. Now, I'm not against gifts, but I want to know here in this church who has the gift of discerning of spirits. Because if somebody here doesn't have it, we can't have them. You say, well, Brother Bale, let's give it the word test. I'm doing my best to give it the word test. What do you think I'm doing? See, so we're not going to go out half-cocked with a lot of things. I told you, I've had gifts in my life, and they worked. I even stepped into a realm that wasn't even mine, and Brother Branham said, you had a lot of genuine discernment, but you did make mistakes. Then get out of the picture. And Brother Branham said, why settle for a half if you can get the whole? Now, I'm talking about a slice of bread and a loaf of bread now. But he said, why would you settle for the inferior when the heavens are full of the real? The only thing I know the heavens are full of right now and came down was the full word. You're in a position now of not necessarily using gifts and acting on those particular grounds, but you're in position of believing. You're in position not even asking, but only believing, and go about living a good Christian life, dedicated to God. These things will fall in your lap, because the Christian is like the tree planted by the river who does not cast the fruit or the leaves wither, but stands right there. Even today, we're not learning to be full beneficiaries of what has been given us. Now it said, the Lord himself shall descend in with a shout. And that word is a command, and it's the same word that's used over here in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, which has to do with the resurrection. So at the time of the resurrection, there's the presence of the Lord. It said, now Christ is risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first one and the only one that could be the first fruit. The rest are afterward. For since by man is death, by man is also the resurrection, or the annulling of death, to bring back the body. For as in Adam all die, in identical manner in Christ are made alive. We were sold into it, now we get bought out of it. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward Christ in his presence. Then will come the end. Now notice how the thing skips, and yet it doesn't skip. Because it says, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till all enemies are under his feet. And the last enemy destroyed is death. Now that's not until the lake of fire. It's only nullified. For yes, I can prove it to you, because it says over here in the book of 1 Corinthians, the same chapter, it said, now listen here, I'm going to tell you, we shall not all die. No way, shape, and form. But it says, when the corruptible puts on incorruption, death is swallowed up in victory. Doesn't say it's destroyed. It said it's taken like an animal, a wild animal in a net. It's restrained. Over here, it says destruction. So you're looking way down the road. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under, it is manifest that he is left out which put all things under. So you got two people working here now. The same as back in the beginning. Let us make man in our image. This one is saying right here, I'm putting everything under your feet except mine. When did Jesus ever take away the headship of God? He can't be done even here. I hope you're following what I've been teaching here. I've been teaching this for years. You're trying to get you to see this thing. See? He is left out. And when all things shall be subdued, there's that word subdued under him, then shall the Son also be subjected. Now, you're looking at, in my understanding, two kinds of subjection. For the Lord comes down with the shout that brings the church under his authority, which is the word. And that word is in there, you that are troubled, rest with us, when the word himself shall descend from heaven to make destruction and yet to glorify himself in you. So you get what I'm looking at. There are two types of subjection that I see in the Bible. Now, right or wrong, I won't argue the point. I'm just telling you what I see. Now listen, when he says over here now, in the book of Genesis, he tells you, right off the bat, he says, have dominion. That's chapter 1, verse 26. But over in verse 28, he is talking about the multiplied people. And they must subdue, and they must have dominion, which means to break into pieces. Now, let's take a little further look. Second chapter, the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, he's forming this time, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Now, he's neither forming nor creating, his breathing, and this is the Holy Ghost. And he's breathing into him the breath of lives, L-I-V-E-S. And at that time, man became a living soul. So now he's not just spirit and body, he's got a soul. And the soul is actually a portion of the Holy Ghost. And is giving this man the momentum, not even his wife now. He's giving the man the momentum to be the procreator or the progenitor or the vessel that God is using to bring these sons in flesh. Now you tell me the woman's got life? She doesn't provide the soul. She doesn't provide the life. She hasn't got it. She provides the egg. Now let's get the picture straight. Write down now, whether you know it or not or understand, she is a step down. Oh God, help us to understand that this is not chauvinistic male pigs or male religion. It's the truth. Because every woman has the individual soul from God the same as the man. But there's no way she can pass that life on. You clone the egg of a woman which has life in it, it'll absolutely produce a female. What about the male? He's got the X and Y chromosome. What will he produce? God knows. I'm not cloning anything. I'm just telling you. That's where it is. You understand now where the woman is by the man and yet the man is by the woman? The woman was made for man and not man for the woman. Well, you see, nobody's ever found the harmony. And Brother Branham came against it in Marriage and Divorce and tells you why these things are. This is why the onus is thrown onto the woman to say no. And if she's ever raped, death. I am for it. You take a bullet and right through his cotton-picking brain. But the government's supposed to do it unless it's done in the heat of passion. Not premeditated. The woman is to keep her vessel. The man is to keep away. And if he smarts off, he's to die for it. I could explain some more things here. I'm not going to do it. What I just want you to see here is the fact, I'm reading over here, God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. He became the living soul, the progenitor, the life carrier. And God made a garden, and he put him in the garden and said, take care of the garden. Now, you don't break anything in pieces and mess in the garden. The subduing and the controlling of nature is working in harmony with it. But remember, there was a skunk at the garden party. And his name was Mr. Serpent, Mr. Beast. And the Bible said Satan walked in the Garden of Eden. And he had on an ephod, which was almost identical to the high priest. Remember I read in Ezekiel and Isaiah? Last Wednesday, I read it. And in there that scuzzball came along. And he acted as the high priest to Eve and the prophet. He transformed himself as an angel or messenger of light when he was a messenger of death and destruction. And she fell for it. Now listen. I'll read to you today out of Daniel, and we'll see the stone that's made without hands. Christ in the form of a absolute, perfect human body, the Son incarnated by the Father, that one, comes right down and destroys what? The end of the Roman Empire. And he's right here to do it now. He's just waiting for us to get all gathered in, and we meet the Lord where? Just up in the air, in a what? Dimension. That's all. Because heaven is merely dimension, the place of authority. We meet him in the incarnation. We come back and utterly destroy, break in pieces, and cause the whole thing to be chaff. I'm looking at two things. I'll ask you one question. Do we believe women go to war? Now, if you're a Jew, you'll believe it. Because the Jews no longer believe you come from Abraham, you come from Sarah. Did you know until a short while ago that you never heard of homosexuals outside of the Jews? Now, come on. You say, Lee, you're a Jew baiter. I'm not a Jew baiter. I've read the articles. And in there they said homosexuality based upon Jewry especially comes from the women because it's an Oedipus complex. Hey, come on, how many of you read your newspapers years ago in articles? Am I the only bird that reads anything? I'm telling you, Jewish men. Today the Jews have no trouble. Homosexuality is 100% in the open and endorsed. Now let's get the picture. The Jews claim they're Jews because of the women. Hogwash. They are in the loins of Abraham. The life comes through the male. And that doesn't make him macho and this and that and the other thing. If he had an ounce of brains, he would know that his sowing is absolutely limited, no matter what he thinks he feels concerning his sexuality and the desire to disseminate and everything else. Because he's supposed to be in the image of God. And you show me where God copulated with a whore. Come on. Now, whores want copulation. The church even claims she's got it. She's having spiritual intercourse to bring forth sons of God. Oh, what? You don't come by a church. You're either word and you're watered. You're either child and you're literally baptized in here by water. To begin to come forth in the life that we missed, because by the Holy Spirit we're just literally commensurate to the word body we bypass. But one day we'll get it, and then you watch us begin to move and move. You can't do it just yet. That's why there's further sanctification and further. And only after Satan is destroyed, we're in the New Jerusalem, do we really begin to fly. And you're in a 1,500-mile high city, so you should be able to fly. Right? Talk about a rarefied atmosphere and the oxygen of God. This is just all typing. All right, you see why I said the things I said the other night. I'm just trying to make them clearer and clearer to you all the time. Why I believe what I believe. And it's based upon what Brother Branham said, and he brought in there the fact of the step down where a hybridization could take place. But a hybridization cannot take place in the soul. In other words, if you are truly a seed of God, your soul came from him, that's the way it is. That's that gene. And you are a part of God, that life. And I don't care what the manifestation is. The point is, in the flesh, I've never seen a sheep that couldn't do every rotten thing a goat could do and maybe do it better. And all I got to do is think of David, and I can excuse myself, and although I don't. And I can think of Solomon, then worshiping other gods. After Jehovah came down visibly, smoke filled the temple. And I can see people right today, in spite of that, walking right away. After having claimed it, oh yes, if we don't get this isn't the real thing, we'll know the real thing. As the old Scotchman said, you wouldn't know God if you met him in your porridge. I'm not Scotch. My mother had some Irish ancestry. That'll account for it, I guess. The crooked temper, but I'm not Irish, don't worry. Okay, I'm a son of God, and that means my lineage is neither Irish, French, or anything else. American, Canadian. It's the lineage of Jehovah. I'm a Jehovahite through Jesus Christ, my elder brother. He's really no older. He just got manifested quicker. That's all. Okay, I think I covered that well enough. I want to go to Genesis, the third chapter there, and look at the word seed. And, because that's what we're talking about here. In the 14th verse of 3, 13th verse, the Lord God said to the woman, what is it you've done? And the woman said, the serpent seduced me. So I got in the act. And the Lord said, the serpent, because thou hast done this. Now, you know what? He believed the woman right now. He didn't question her. Now, you notice how well she told the truth in his presence? Bride will always go with the truth. She won't try to hide anything. Oh, bless God, I'm not wretched, miserable, blind, naked. Hallelujah, I'm a son of God. And millions now living will never die. Hallelujah, and speak in tongues to prove it. Ha, ha, ha. Raise the dead. I ain't going to believe it. Judas did, and he was the devil. Foreordained. Not elected, but selected, chosen. It was written of him in the book, but he wasn't written as elect, but he was in the book of life. Oh, sure. No problem. Cainite, he did what Cain did. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you've done this, you're cursed above all cattle, above beasts of the field, and upon your belly you'll go, and dust you'll eat all the days of your life. All the days, right down there. We got the boa constrictor right today, remnants of hips. Doesn't procreate like other snakes do. No, he's different. Snake blood, you know, is very close to human blood. They figure of using the serum. Now, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. Enmity. Hey, where am I going to turn? Where's Pete? He got the answers. Now, if I'm going to use the word enmity, where am I going to turn? Come on, speak up. Come on. You're not a bunch of scared babies. Okay. Romans 8, verse 7. Let's go before that. Let's go to verse 5. And for they that are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. Aha! What was Eve doing with the serpent? But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So what did Eve do? You don't know yet? Okay, where am I going to turn now? Come on. Don't clam up on me, please. I'm not here to hurt you. I love you. I want you to know your Bibles. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. Now, how often do I go there? Okay. For I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve. To his subtlety? He reached for the enemy of God. Right there. A part of you is an enemy of God. Your mind. Now, if we ever get reading, we'll read it. The enemy of God. A step here, by any means. Any old thing you can do it. Use gifts. Beguiling. Give you position. Juggle you. Beat you. Kill you if you don't agree. Anything goes. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And then you get another Jesus, another word, and so on. So, okay, what am I reading back here? I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between her, thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, all right, you got an enmity. All right, now, there's going to be something now that down the road, there's going to be a differentiation. There's going to be a seed that has something that is the enemy of Satan, and Satan has something that's the enemy of this bride. Okay, where is it? The Bible tells you. It's in mind. It's right in your brain, right in your mind. And this is exactly what happened. Eve reasoned. But there will be a bride who doesn't reason. And the bride does not reason. The bride does not use her mind. If she's true bride, she doesn't do it. Now, come on. Let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter. For 6th verse, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart. Question, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, bring Christ down from above. Question, who shall descend to the deep? That is, bring him from the dead. How are you going to get him down? When you get him down and kill him, how are you going to get him up? For what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. It is not in your mind. It doesn't have a thing to do with reasoning. You simply say, the prophet said it, that's it, that ends the whole thing, and I'll find it in the Bible, because the Bible can't lie. What did Jesus do when he was confronted by the devil? He said, it is written. What did the devil say to him? He said, it is written. And when you say it is written, and you use a carnal knowledge, you have fallen into the hands of the devil. That's what this whole sermon is about right here. Get rid of your thinking. Get rid of your reasoning. You ain't got a thing coming, but I'm hated for it. Well, they left. Oh, I'm terribly upset. No, not at all. Did you know 1 month before the chips were down, that man on the phone phoned me and said, as we talked about these things, he said, Brother Dale, he said, would you prefer that I leave the church? I didn't know he's going behind my back writing all little things and trying to persuade some of you people right here. And I said, what are you talking about? What for? What's been going on? Conscience. Sneaky, sneaky. When you're presence of God, you use fig leaves. Yeah. Enemy. Let's go back. Seed against seed. Okay. Let's talk about seed. Seed. Brother Branham said the seed she should have borne was Christ. Spoken word, son. She'd have said, be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't. She listened to Satan. Her reasoning came in. Hey, it can be done this way. 1,000,044, right? 1,000,054, 1,000,064, and 5,000,074, and 10,000,084, and 100,000,094. How many are truly born again? Can the church, by its reasoning of creeds and dogmas, bring forth spiritual children unto God? No, because they're dead. They don't have the living word. They've taken the living word and perverted. I keep telling you, Satan does not have a word. He cannot create. He doesn't have a language. It was God at Babel who gave them all languages, not the devil. Where does language come from? God. What does the devil use? God's language. How? By perversion. Devil right today says, millions now living will never die. God's word says, just a minute. Eight made the ark. Oh, I can take a lot of scripture and talk about all the souls being converted. His glory from shining sea to shining sea and the land covered with all the seed and blah, blah, blah. And be 100% with the devil. I want you to know the devil quotes the word of God. He transforms himself as an angel of light, and therefore it is no great mystery. If you've got 1 ounce of brains, there is no mystery that his messengers transform themselves. Now, how do they do it? By the way, the devil did it. He uses God's word. And the incarnation of Satan used God's gifts. Holy Ghost gifts. Yeah.
Well, by the way, I don't think I could go for that.
There you are, carnal reasoning. Well, you're a purer mind than God.
Oh, God couldn't do that.
Huh, wait and find out. A lot of people think that God's not going to glorify me. Ha, ha, ha. I'm one of his seed. Who are they trying to kid? You're judging by the flesh. I'm going by the word. I'm going by the prophecy. Well, is it on the tape? Did somebody hear him say it? I raise my hand before Almighty God, the Bible open. I'm telling you the truth. You know what? That's the same as swearing by God and his holy word. But I can get away with it. Because the prophet did. I'm not aggrandizing myself. I believe the prophet. Why do you think I go from word to word? Because of what he said. I can take the scripture and prove it. This was the seed she should have borne. She blew it. All right, we read Genesis 3. Okay. Now let's go to Galatians. Let me read you something. Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises, plural. And he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. To thy seed which is Christ. Right? That's the seed she should have borne. Because in him were all the seeds. Now let's go a little further. That's singular. But watch over here in same chapter, starting at 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now that tells you he's picking them out in contradistinction from the crowd. For as many of you, not all, as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now you lost your identity. Every born one of Adam came in the flesh, has lost an identity. Now there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. What's all this talk about females now? Christ didn't marry and have children. He didn't. Yeah, I can prove to you he's got thousands of them. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Notice not Jesus Christ, now Christ Jesus. There's a reversal. Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus, not the same. There's a different meaning there. You're looking now from the top down. It means a difference here, because you're looking at Messiah, Jehovah that came down. For if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs. Now you've got a plural.
You've got a singular and you've got a plural. Now notice the truth here. There could not be the subjecting and the ruling and every single word of God come to pass outside of this one, so therefore the seed is what she should have borne in order to bring forth the seeds.
Now let's go back again. In Genesis, the third chapter, I'll put enmity between thy seed and her seed. They tell me, which I have no right to believe, but I understand that in the Greek, this is the plural. The Hebrew, rather, is in the plural. But the word seed here doesn't need to be translated simply as seed. It can be simply translated as child. Now, the child is the child of the man by the woman. But it speaks of her having a child. And it says that that child is going to come against your child. And in multiplying, showing the plurality, it reveals to you very beautifully. The plurality is there, and you will see it in Hebrews, the second chapter. For both he that, no, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain, the only begotten, of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one source, one Father, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now let's go back to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. We've done it different times. And we're going to see the truth about Isaiah 53. Now here's what he's telling you about this one that's going to bruise the serpent's head. This is the seed of the woman, so-called, the child the woman is going to bear. Now remember, in the 12th chapter of Revelation, the woman bears a child. Right? So see your pictures, Alpha and Omega. Okay, who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, who is this one? This is Jesus, the man, the Son of God, the only begotten one, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. This is that one. You notice he didn't say about you and me, I'm pleased to dwell on you. Maybe just kind of bears that one. No, it's his pleasure, but not this pleasure. For he should grow up before him as a tender plant, root on dry ground, if no form to come, as we should see in him, no beauty we should desire. He despised and rejected men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, as we hid our faces from him, despised, esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, wounded for our transgression, bruised, and he gave chastisement our peace upon him, with his stripes we healed. All we like sheep, every sheep went astray, turned every one to his own way, the Lord laid on the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, opened not his mouth, brought the lamb as a slaughter, sheep before shearers dumb, opened not his mouth. The Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Now listen, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Who's going to expose it? Who's going to thoroughly lead it forth? Where is his generation? Where is his children? He doesn't have any. He was cut off of the land of the living. He couldn't procreate. He didn't marry. He didn't have children. He transgressed in my people as he stricken. Now watch. He made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had none no violence, no deceit in his mouth. He never said one word that was off. Like Brother Brown is writing, there wasn't one word, bit of deceit in his writing. My sister proved it. She read it. She used to be a very good analyst. Now watch, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. Remember, there was no deceit in his mouth because he was a prophet. He couldn't. A lie would have tongue-tied him. He couldn't have said it. Huh? Right. Please the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When he, thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, a sin offering, his soul, it died, cut off from God, went down into hell. Then he shall see seed, and thereby prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, God's immaculate, ultimate plan can only come to pass through this. And in him there are all those seed, and they're justified by his own soul, like coming upon them, watering it, utterly sanctifying, giving them a second birth. And this alone will give them the third birth when they come out of the ground, or stand here transformed. See what I'm saying? He shall succeed the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify the many. Not everybody, the many. For he shall bear their iniquities. The many's, not the whole world. It's limited atonement. Tell me what you want, and I'll show you. It's limited because only those that walk in the light, that come to the light, receive the atonement of the blood. Why? Because you repent, which is a change of mind. Come on, the whole thing is what Brother Branham said right in here. The mind is the womb. Therefore, when I divide him a portion of the great, to divide the spoil of the strong, because he poured forth his soul unto death, was numbered with the transgressors, and at that time bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressor, like he said. They said, remember you to come to the king. He said, this day I'll remember you. You'll be with me in paradise, and so on and so on. All right, look also in the 22nd Psalm. And I've read this to you different times, on different occasions, Psalm 22 and 30, a seed shall serve him. Look at the 29th verse, or the 28th. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. He's the head of them. And they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. Fat upon the earth at the end time, Malachi 4. Calves of the stall, fat and sassy, so to speak. All that go down in the dust shall bow before him. Come up in the white throne, second resurrection. None can keep his alive his own soul. Tells you right there, if you're seed, you're going to be watered. A seed shall serve him. Tells you right there now, here's the difference. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. He was cut off. He couldn't see his generation. The word generate, what is the word to generate? From the word Genesis, start something, get it moving. How does he do it? By being the first fruit. And the seed is counted for him as his children. My sheep hear my voice. All that the Father give me will come to me. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. Oh, Lord, yes. Born in the flesh and born completely wrong. Born again to get something commensurate. Born out of the dust to come back again. Born, 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 born. What is the word born mean? Issue forth, issue forth, issue forth, issue forth. How can you issue forth unless there's something to issue forth from? I don't know where people are coming from. They don't understand the Word of God. That's your business entirely, not mine. Now, in the word Greek, seed means an offspring. Just means an offspring. Now, what does it say over here in the book of Acts? I don't know if I can find it or not. I'm not too good at remembering everything. But, oh, come on, man. Flip past it. All right. Can't even see the... What, he usually can find where it is in my Bible, like Brother Branham said. He keeps the Scofield Bible because he didn't have any trouble finding what he wanted to know. Okay, here's what it says. It's the 17th chapter, not the 19th. And Paul is speaking before the altar of the unknown God. And he said, God hath made the world and all things are him, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all things life and breath and all things, and hath made a one blood, all nations of men to dwell on the earth, and determined to be appointed before the bounds of their habitation. And then he says, as your own offspring said, verse 28, for we are also his offspring. The offspring, see. So there you are. In the Greek, it's offspring. We are that seed. Now, in other words, we are the children of God in contradistinction to the others. And you can see in here where everything shows you positively what Brother Branham said. This one here, Christ is the only one that can do it. So therefore, he should have been the one that came. Now, going to reasoning and not believing the Word of God, he could not be produced. And if he couldn't be produced that back there, and we're looking at the type now, what is set up in the beginning cannot change, how can the church produce him now and bring him here on earth? Eve played the harlot. The church has to have spiritual intercourse, the same as she should have had intercourse with her husband, not somebody else. So now, who in the world is the church that has God as her husband? The Catholic Church says, I'm no widow. I got God as my husband. I'm sitting as a queen. Liars, liars, liars. She's nothing but a whore, and her daughters are a bunch of harlots. Can't bring it forth. Can't bring it forth. The church cannot do it. Neither can the church in this hour can't do it. No way can the church do it. It's going to take God himself to do something. What's he going to do? Kill the whole bunch and start over? Well, he never killed Eve and started over. Matthew 12 tells you, the bruised reed he won't break, the smoking flask he won't catch, until he hurls forth judgment the Gentiles, because in his name they trust. So he's going to take what? There remaineth the seed. 7,000 haven't bowed the knee. And that's how he's going to come back, because there's going to be a resurrection, and the bride on earth is going to be changed because she returns to that word and doesn't disbelieve one single word, and the womb of her mind is completely shut up so she can't commit spiritual adultery, and that one must come back. We meet him in the air, and we bring him back with us. And break all the nations, rule with a rod of iron, completely subdue and take dominion. Then there's a replenishing of the earth the way God wants it. All right, you see all these things? Okay. What time we got left? Who knows? Out of the hour and a half? Well, that's nice. Why should I bother? Let me just call it a day. Come back next Saturday. If you don't want to miss it, you want to miss it, it goes out on tape anyway. You know, I'm just not being mean, I'm just being truthful. I thank God my ministry's the way it is. Nobody here wants to hear, which I know you do. Although many times not much effort is made. It's all right, though. I don't make much effort myself. I'm lazy. I admit it. But you'd be surprised. I heard of a guy last week who listened one tape 6 times in a row. But that guy's going to know more than I know. That's right. That's right. That's just true. I often forget many things I say. Even if I write them down, I know they're right because I know they're coming to the Word of God, and you can't stop that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and love to us, your goodness, where you bring us together, and we look at this Word and realize how true it was that the prophet didn't make a mistake. Going right back to the very beginning, taking it through the Word and bringing it right to this hour, typing shadows, and he said, I'm not a theologian, but I'm a typologist. Oh God, we know that the theologians are not even second or third rate when it comes to a typologist, it's a prophet. For we thank you for this, Heavenly Father, and praise your name, and pray, Lord, that the life of the Spirit of this Word now be loosed within us, O God, bringing forth a womb mind that is shut up to every word but the Word of God, and at the same time is full of the gestating Word of God, increasing and growing more and more into that stature that Brother Branham said we would have according to 1 Peter. Lord, we believe that today, and we thank you for it. You've already worked a work in us, in our souls, in our minds, and in our spirits, O God, and soon in some will be their bodies when the dead come out of the earth, as it were, and the people in this church And we trust everyone, not one will miss it. We'll see Brother Branham and these dear saints of God, that sweep will go over them, walking now into that third and final rebirth as we see it. The body completely changed. Not entering the womb of a woman, no. But coming from the womb of the mind. Coming into full fruition. That's what we desire, Lord. We pray you'll heal the sick amongst us, Lord. There might not be one sick. There might not be one that needs help beyond the fact of their prayers uttered today, Lord, for the sick ones, O God, claiming our healing every day and thanking you for it. Blessing everyone, Lord, where there's a lack of work or there's too much work. Whatever it is, Lord, we pray, O God, that you, with your love and your ameliorating influence, you yourself who said, be temperate in all things, gentle. We believe, Lord, you are tempering us and gentling us by your own temperament, your own gentleness, Lord. Bringing us into that fullness of the flesh, Lord, based upon the image. Your own, Lord. Your own intrinsicality, your own life. That you've shared with us. It's marvelous to know how you've done this, Lord. We realize, Lord, that it's a pity, but we're all like Eve too. It's like the old saying, the Amish people, Lord, that too soon we're old and too late we're smart. But Lord, we know that at the end time, it isn't too late for you yourself come down to do what none could do but you yourself, bringing it to perfection. We thank you for it, Lord, and praise you for all your goodness and mercy upon each one here today. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord.